Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in for AME President Dan Levler, AME Executive Vice President Tom Moran.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome today's guest, retired Chief Master Sergeant Marcel Leese, Director of Suffolk County Veterans Services, on this day before Veterans Day. I want to express our deep gratitude for your 24 years of service in the United States Air Force and the New York Air National Guard. Pleasure to have you with us this morning. I'd love if you could just let our listeners know a little bit about your background.
Well, good morning and thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion with you today on the heels of our Veterans Day. So I will start by sharing my story. I grew up in Nassau County, and as we were discussing, there really wasn't a lot of encouragement to join military service. I did enlist for purely selfish reasons. I share that openly because I was transformed at Lackland Air Force Base Basic Training, where I went for me. It was all about going to college, getting the GI Bill, looking for something that was bigger than me, but I wasn't sure what that was. But as I share my story, when I went to Lackland Air Force Base, it changed. I was completely transformed. I became what I knew was going to be a career airman, and I looked for opportunities throughout my career to progress and support the mission.
With your current role right now, the experiences in the military, how does that drive you into becoming the Director of Veterans Services?
Well, as a part of my journey, I've realized that it's a cultural thing that we have as veterans to serve others. And I think that that's what has driven me. The military, the Air Force, and New York Air National Guard made me who I am today. The leadership experiences, professional development, all that is what I bring to the table as the Director of Suffolk County Veterans Services. It's really about taking, like I said, taking care of each other, having somebody's back. That's a term that we use in the military that is it's an honored tradition to say, if I have somebody's back and I'm working with a veteran, they understand there's already that built-in trust. And all of my veteran service officers in Suffolk County are veterans themselves, different branches of service, and they know what it is to the language that we use to engage a veteran when they come to our office for any type of services that we provide, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit, and do the handoffs to the community partners. So that's what I bring to the table these days, because I know culturally we don't like to ask for help. We're the helping professionals. For the people that are running into the firefight, we don't come out and say, I have PTSD or I need help with something. They just kind of transition back in. And hopefully some of the message today is about strength in asking for help.
Yeah, you highlight something like that. The people that are involved in the military or any type of first responder, police, fire, that they're always the ones that are there helping, but they're always... We've come to the culture where they're the last ones to ask for help or sometimes take care of themselves. You mentioned how the being a veteran and you see that bond between people that don't even know each other, but they've both served. And it doesn't always have to be in the same branch. It's somebody that has served as a veteran. I'm admired to see how people treat each other that are veterans. And multi-generational, from somebody that's 70 years old to somebody that's 20 years old, that somebody is a career military person or a person that just did the GI Bill and went and did their 4 years. But it's always inspiring to see that bond that's created from the day that you join stays with veterans throughout their lives.
It's true. All branches of service have their different templates for military basic training. But we all come from the foundation and what I call is the me to we concept. You go to basic training, they break you down as an individual, and then they build you up as a team. And you take that with you throughout your life. In the Air Force, we have the Air Force core values of integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. And that's not just a value that we speak, it's a value that we live. Raised my family on those values. My husband also happens to be of military service. So as people are drawn together when they work in the same environment. I feel that having another veteran in my presence, there's, like I said, that built-in mutual trust and respect from the moment you enter the room. in my career, post-military service, I've had the honor and the privilege to meet so many different generations of military service members, veterans. As we know, World War II, they're few and far between right now. I actually know a World War II veteran that's still independently living in Suffolk County, and he comes to a breakfast that they do weekly at a local restaurant in Lake Ronkonkoma. And you hear his stories. He's going to be 99 years old this month, and it's just incredible to be in his presence. And then you have the Korean War veterans, that forgotten war, that are also dwindling at a rapid rate, but they're still somewhat independently living. And you hear their stories, the few that they want to share. And then, of course, our Vietnam veterans, which is the largest population of veterans, not just in our county, but in the nation. And our Vietnam veterans are younger, but you know, aging up in the place where they still live independently for the most part. But when they came home from service, they didn't go to the VA. They actually stayed away from the VA because of the environment in our communities when they came home. So they found their own independence, but they didn't go for help. Now they're coming for help because they're getting to that age where their age and stage of life is where they're seeing some chronic health issues that are presumptive to their service connection. And that's what we do at Suffolk County Veterans Service Agency, is we help assist the veterans, service members, and their families with the compensation claims to the VA. A very big distinction is we are not the VA, we are the county, but we work closely with VA to help access services. And we promote healthy behaviors. We want them to go out in the community and meet some of the community partners that are doing things beyond compensation claims that we handle.
You touched on the point there about the gentleman that's going to be 99 and is a World War II veteran. And you just go through life. And I can remember being younger, and there was so many World War II veterans, just because it was, you know, 30, 40 years ago in my time frame that I'm thinking. And then there were the Korean War veterans and the Vietnam veterans. You know, those were, you know, like the 35-year-old people, like they were in their family. Those were my friends, like dads and stuff were Vietnam veterans. But you look back to why there are services and why that we do want to take care of our veterans. And when you, it reminded me of all the videos and pictures that you see from World War II. When World War II ended and when service men and women came home, the greeting that they got and how they were treated. And then you move to, you said, the forgotten war. And you know, sometimes that's glazed over, that, you know, people don't mention enough that time frame did happen with the Korean War. And then, of course, we've all seen depicted how Vietnam veterans felt how they were treated when they came home or and continued in life. So I think that's a huge part of what your agency is doing and post the Vietnam era with those type of veterans that are coming home now. Do you feel like that you've seen that we've, as a country or as a community, have learned that there are things that we need to address when people do come home from being in a conflict or just being in the service in general?
I do believe our communities are doing a much better job. I reflect on our right after Desert Storm. I was serving in Nassau County at the time at a small combat comm squadron, and Nassau County had a huge welcome home parade for the veterans that were returning home from Desert Storm. And I was in the honor guard at the time, so we were in formation and we were carrying the flags and had our eyes front. And out of my peripheral, I saw a bunch of veterans that had, you know, Vietnam on their shirts, and they wore their Vietnam veterans caps, and they were thanking us. They were thanking us. And I remember trying to keep my military bearing as a tear rolled down my eye, thinking, and I get the chills because I'm like, you're thanking us? We're here to thank you. It wasn't just about the Desert Storm veterans. It was about recounting the Vietnam veterans that didn't get those celebrations when they came home. And so we are doing a better job. Fast forward to the post 9/11 wars. Yeah, we've had so many people deployed, active guard and reserve. And when they come home, we are definitely doing a better job of receiving them through our community partners. I believe when they come home, even on the bases, it's more prevalent to have those conversations. I saw that change in probably the second half of my career, that we were actually opening conversations. And when I'll speak Air Force language. When airmen came home from service, there was a process of reintegration. And that's what we talk about, not just reintegration on the base. They've also brought the families in and even gone one step further. And again, I'll speak for Suffolk County and the wing out at West Hampton Beach. That's where I retired from. They invite the community to come in now. When I was at the base years ago, it was like you didn't leave the four walls of the base. So you really didn't know what was out there. And even in my post-service, the first few years, if I hadn't been introduced to the programs that I've worked with over the last decade, I wouldn't have known. But they're inviting us in now. So they have a family day every September. It's not just about the families and the service members. It's the community partners. It's the resources. It's the VA. It's Suffolk County. Many of the partners we work with equine therapy and canine therapy, service dogs. We all come together, and they get to see what's out there. So in response to that question, I believe we are doing a much better job, but we still have a lot of work to do. There still are gaps in services. And sometimes when veterans, people come home, service members, especially, again, I speak from the culture of the Guard, they don't consider themselves veterans. And so they don't access services. And that's where our presence in these resource fairs, and we have a lot coming up right now as we're going to share, that's the opportunity that we have to let them know that, first of all, it's okay to ask for help. That's the message. It's okay to go out and say, I need something. Where can I go? Because it's complicated. There's a lot of systems out there. And they say, well, I got back from service, but I didn't get out of the military because I'm still in the National Guard or Reserve, so I'm not a veteran. But that's not true. If you've deployed, if you've gone on active duty, which most do, you come back, you get that record of service. As we know, it's called the DD Form 214. You are eligible for benefits. You're entitled to benefits. And we want them to know that asking for help is a healthy model of behavior.
I know we jumped right into our conversation today, but just for some of our listeners, can you explain to them the difference between being in the Air Force and then what the Air National Guard does, and who makes up the Air National Guard?
Yes. So the Air National Guard is a reserve of the Air Force. They're actually under the state governor is the commander in chief, whereas on active duty, you serve anywhere across the globe under the President of the United States as the Commander-in-Chief. What happens with that, with the Guard, is traditionally it's two-thirds of that force are part-time, what we call drill status guardsmen. So that two-thirds full-time has other jobs, whether it's in the first responder mode, whether it's working for a company here on Long Island. Their military obligation as they recruit against is 1 week in a month and annual training every year. That changed again after 9/11, actually changed after Desert Storm. We saw a lot of the Guard going into more full-time active duty roles to help support the missions across the globe. So that means that one-third of the military service in the Air National Guard are full-time. You need to have a full-time construct. In fact, here on Long Island, we don't have any active duty other than the Guard. So with the largest population of veterans in Suffolk County, within the state of New York, and Nassau and Suffolk as a region is number two to San Diego in our country. So we have a lot of veterans to serve, and we support them in numerous ways through many of the upcoming events that we're going to talk about.
And in order to be to join the Air National Guard, is that something you have to do as soon as you leave the military, or could you be out for 10, 12 years and then join at that point?
Yes, we do get a lot of what they call prior service enlistments or appointments. You can be in you can be in another branch of service. You don't have to come from the Air Force to come into the Guard. The recruiters, as they are, they'll process, you know, they'll take a look at what their service time was, what their AFSC, which is the Air Force Specialty Code, in other branches of service, they call it an MOS. So they'll look at what their service time was on active duty, and also take a look at their age, because you do have to be able to, at least when I retired, you have to be able to do 20 years of service to retire by age 60 in the Guard. So they'll take a look at all those factors. What did you do? What's available right now? So you can come into the Guard. In fact, I know from my experience, having somebody come off of active duty and come into the Guard was very helpful because they already had a lot. They had the military understanding, the construct, and the service time.
Excellent. You know, that really shines a light on what they do for someone like myself wouldn't really know how that all formulates. I want to talk about Suffolk County. We have such a high concentration of veterans in the state and in the country for general. Can you just outline some of the challenges that veterans do face and why it's so why we have such a big population in Suffolk County?
That's a very good question. Again, because we don't have an active duty base, we don't have a lot of the infrastructure that you would have if you were in active duty and you come in on Long Island, having that large population of veterans. I think that what we're seeing is a lot of gaps in the services. Again, goes to them not knowing what's out there. I think that that's a challenge, but we also see it as an opportunity to be able to bring the resources to them. I think that having this large population, I think we have to talk about the subpopulations of veterans. Again, we talk generationally, that Vietnam veteran population, which is the largest subpopulation of veterans we see, are only, like I said, asking for help now. I think we could definitely do a better job of getting in with the Vietnam Veterans of America. Suffolk County is doing that. We have a really healthy partnership with the what they call is the VVA. I actually sit on a lot of boards to include the Long Island State Veterans Home on their advisory board, and I sit amongst our multi-generational but mostly Vietnam veterans that are there. And I think by opening up those conversations with them, we can better understand how we can reach them in larger numbers.
So you have a broad mission. Walk us through how your agency assists with VA compensation, disability, pension claims, crisis intervention, mental health. I mean, there's so many things that that are on the list of things that you do. But for the most part, I want you to touch on how those programs are, what they do, and how they assist the veterans.
So our veteran service officers, or we call them VSOs, again, I mentioned earlier, they're all veterans themselves. So they're already coming in with that understanding of military culture. We are all the VSOs are accredited by the American Legion to prosecute service-connected compensation claims, widows' pensions, and we work a little bit, although we're not National Cemetery, we do have there's a small death gratuity if, say, a veteran were to pass because of a service-connected illness. We can usually get a small stipend to the family on that. But what they'll do is we'll have a veteran come into our office in Hopog, Riverhead, or our two satellite offices are in the Long Island State Veterans Home. We have a veteran service officer there 3 days a week. And in the town of Brookhaven, we have a veteran service office there 2 days a week. So we try to get out into the community a little bit more. But a veteran will make an appointment, they'll come in, or sometimes they'll just walk in because they've heard of us and we'll accommodate their needs. And they'll sit down with the veteran service officer and really sift through, all right, where did you serve? When did you serve? Let's take a look at your DD-214. We can read a DD-214 and tell the history and of what the veteran has done. We look at their service awards. We look at, again, where they served, how long they served, whether it was in a foreign country, whether it was during a time of war. So the VSO puts all these pieces together and helps navigate next steps for the veteran. So the veteran will be told to go and get their diagnoses of mental health or medical health conditions that might be attributed to their service. And then they're going to come back to the veteran service officer and they're going to help talk them through that again. Eventually it comes up to the VA calling them up for what they call a CMP, which is a compensation and pension medical or mental health appointment. And then that physician will do their own assessment of what the compensation claim is showing as far as those service-connected conditions. And then it goes through a longer process where it goes up to a VA rater. And then eventually they'll get a letter from the VA either approving or denying or a combination and assigning what they call a rating. So you could be, let's say, again, a Vietnam veteran served in country, exposed to Agent Orange, and they're dealing with cancer and other ailments right now. And we'll help them go through that process. Obviously, they're taking care of themselves. But the VA could assign 70, 80, 90%, up to 100% rating. You could be someone like myself who served in Kuwait after 9/11, who had a service-connected condition, and I have a 0% rating. Why is that? Well, they diagnosed me with thyroid cancer back in 2019, found out that that was a presumptive to being around the burn pits and exposed to toxins in the Gulf region. So I share it openly because I'm doing very well now, but they did approve that I was diagnosed and recovered. So they put the 0% rating, but I know it's very complicated, but it acknowledges to the VA that, God forbid I ever get sick again, that they might increase the rating and I would be eligible for additional services through the VA.
You know, you're somebody that is heavily involved in this. And you shared that story with, you found out that you were eligible for something or because of something that happened to you that maybe you didn't even think about or remember that going on or put that connection together. Mm-hmm. Do you find when the veterans come in and you do have, your staff working with them, do you find a lot of times that you're telling them stuff like that, that there's so many things there that they are not, they didn't realize that they were eligible for or never put that connection together and that it actually helps them in their life and helps them with the, what's going on with them at that time?
Absolutely. When a veteran comes in that may have never put in a claim before and we sit down with them, our veteran service officers go through the gamut of service conditions that, you know, or any kind of medical or mental health condition that might have evolved through the years, they're going to talk them through that process. They're going to go head to toe. Do you have this ailment or that ailment? Well, you didn't know this, but it's a presumptive to your service connection, and that's going to help kind of roll it forward, so to speak, that they now understand. And then here's the other piece of it. They're going to tell their buddies. They're going to talk to their friends, and they're going to talk to people that also did not know. So it spreads the word when they come in, and they also show that they're going for the help. They're going for whether it's the service connection or a referral to a community partner. They're going to tell their buddies that that this is good, that you really should go and learn more because I did not know that this ailment that I have could possibly be a result of my service time.
And I'm sure that just the word of mouth, taking it, like, again, it's a peer. You're one of your fellow veterans that you are, maybe if you're the same age or you're in the same group, they're passing along how you've helped them. And I'm sure that adds to your numbers of people that are coming in just because you helped one person and that it just flowed outward from that. So the Suffolk County Marathon Veterans Services, AME has been a proud sponsor of that. It's impacts and raises funds for our veterans. Can you just speak about your involvement with that and give maybe our listeners who don't, they just know it as the Suffolk County Marathon. They don't really understand that it's for a cause.
This is only my second year working for Suffolk County. So this is the second marathon that I actually work behind the scenes with the race director and the community internally with other departments within Suffolk County and externally with our community partners in putting this event together. It's actually the Suffolk County Marathon, Half Marathon, and 10K on the Sunday of the weekend that comes up. And then on the Saturday before, we have a 5K and a 1K kids fun run. So all the proceeds that go for the race go into the grant process through Suffolk County, through a board, a commission that is hired actually by legislation. And then they determine what monies, what proceeds that are left. And again, 100% of the proceeds go to these veterans organizations that we're going to talk about. No dollars are ever spent by the taxpayers. Everything through the race director, through Race Awesome, is covered, all the overhead's covered. And what's left, which is a percentage that's pretty sizable, will go through that grant process, and they will award the funding to credible organizations that are doing the boots on the ground work with veterans.
The Joseph P. Dwyer Veterans Peer Support Group has been incredibly successful in Suffolk County. Could you talk about what the group does and what services they provide?
I'm always proud to talk about the Joseph Dwyer Project. I'll share first, I did not know Joe Dwyer. I only know him through his stories, through his family. Joe Dwyer was inspired to serve after 9/11. He actually became a combat medic. And if you've ever seen that iconic picture of a service member running through a firefight with the weapon slung behind his back, carrying a young Iraqi boy who had just been wounded, that was Joe doing his job. And the folks around him were firing back to save him. And so if you can only imagine in that environment, the constant coming in and out, that hypervigilance of working in the military service and then coming home and then going back, it takes its toll. It does. And Joe openly struggled with post-traumatic stress. But at the time, there weren't peer programs as there are today, namely the Joseph Dwyer Project, named after him. So he was self-medicating. He did not take his life. However, he did die of an accidental overdose. He was a guy from Mount Sinai, so Suffolk County called it his home. So they decided, they meaning the New York State Senate and people that at the time knew that the number, we don't like to put a number on it, but there is a national number of 22 veterans or service members a day take their lives. And they needed to go in the other direction. So the Joseph Dwyer Project did evolve, and it actually launched in 2013. I had the opportunity to see it as a startup. It was right after military service. And the first thing we had to do was say, all right, where are our veterans? Where do they congregate? And how can we engage them and understanding what the peer services mean? It's an evidence-based practice. It's non-clinical. It's community-based. And so what we started to do is we started looking at our VFWs and our American Legions, and then we started looking beyond that at the VA. How can we get these veterans to be supported in the role that is clearly what they need? So we started small groups. It was kind of almost like an AA format where we would have weekly groups. We'd invite veterans in. We did a lot of groundwork to get them in the door. And then again, just like we said about our services with the Suffolk County Veterans Service Agency, word of mouth helped spread it around. And we grew exponentially from the first year to the fifth year. Suffolk County was, again, one of the first four counties in the state of New York to have the funding. I believe that Suffolk County is the model of the Joseph Dwyer Project. It's now in each county in the state of New York. Many times in my career working, I was with the Dwyer Project before I came over to the county. We were the go-to community-based model of peer support for other counties that were coming into the funding. So they would come to us and, how have you made this so successful? Well, it was the team around us, and it was the community support. It was the leadership at the county that trusted that the non-for-profit that was running the Joseph Dwyer Project was saving lives. And we do know that it does save lives, having that peer engagement, having people come to you and understand that lived experience.
Again, the best way is by helping somebody, to them carry your message to other people that need the help. And especially with something like that, you know, you hear from somebody that's dealing with the same thing that you're dealing with. It's going to get the ball moving, that they get to the people in groups like that, that can help people. I know Veterans Day is right around the corner, but I know you have so many things going on. Are there any events, initiatives coming up that you'd like our listeners to know about?
Yes, this is what we call our busy season. So we have a lot of events on the calendar. A couple of them that I'd like to highlight is actually with a collaboration with our Nassau County partners, with the Veterans Health Alliance of Long Island. They hold an annual mental health symposium for veterans, they also offer they offer credit for clinicians. So they come in, and basically what we do there is we have a morning and an afternoon session with breakouts, panelists that are subject matter experts in the field, of various disciplines of mental health, counseling, crisis intervention. And we just had these conversations on how to better serve the veterans that are struggling with their mental health. I can say honestly, in my 24 years of service, the word mental never really came into play. And now, because of the stigma that's assigned to it, but now I think that through the VHALI Mental Health Conference and other programs that come up, we're breaking down that stigma and we're getting more people to understand the healthy aspect of seeking treatment.
And for our listeners, I know all these programs. How do they get in touch with your office? And I'm sure that if they needed any additional services, you're going to point them in the right direction. But what's the best way for them to get in contact with your office?
Well, obviously, a direct call is the first step. They can call our office at the Hopog location at the H. Lee Dennison building at 631-853-8387. It's easy to remember. It's 631-853-VETS, VETS. We also have information on our website for that, and we are actually back up and running with social media, so we'll be using that vehicle to get more information out on the upcoming events, such as the VHLI conference. Long Island Cares is another one of our very strong partners in Suffolk County, and they're holding their next turkey distribution at the H. Lee Dennison building in Hopog in the North Lot on November 21st.
I'm very thankful to have the director of Suffolk County Veterans Services, Marcel Lease, but retired Chief Master Sergeant. There are never words that can express the gratitude that veterans deserve, like yourself, especially those that, as they say, continue to serve and serve their fellow veterans. You are doing an absolutely amazing job. And the work that you are doing and growing, and I hate to say the Army, being an Air Force person, but the Army that you have built and assembled in this county is growing, and it's growing with the people that are helping people and the people that need help. So I thank you. I wish you a very happy Veterans Day, and salute you for your service.
Thank you very much for the opportunity today. And again, any veteran that's out there that's looking for help, our door is always open.